So this story, when I was a child, was definitely one of my favorites. And I would experiment, maybe some of you relate to this, that I could walk on the water. Maybe I could, if I had enough faith. If I had enough faith, the water would become smooth as glass under my feet. So I would stand at the edge of whatever pool I happened to be at that summer, concrete warm under my feet, close my eyes, summon all the faith I could in my heart, summon every ounce of belief I could in my mind, and then I would step out. I have enough faith. I have enough faith. I have enough faith. And then, of course, you know what happens. Get water up my nose. I would plummet to the bottom of the pool, swim to the end, get out dripping, and I would think, maybe next time will be the time. Maybe next time I will believe enough to be able to walk on the water. Well, as an adult, my call to participate in this walk has become more metaphorical. I no longer think the science of the universe is going to alter so radically that the water will hold me up. Nor do I have the same bravado about my faith as I did as a child. Being an adult means knowing fear. I know now how fear can paralyze my body and my mind, and how my faith can dissipate like mist. Still, like all of you, I've made some big faith-filled steps. A first step into a new place, a new job, a vocation, marriage, that's a big one, parenthood, that's a really big one. You all know these steps that we choose or are forced upon us. A step into our own illness or disability, or into a journey with someone else that we love dearly who is journeying through a physical or mental illness. And we are brave and we are resilient, especially because we've been hurt and know that we can sink. And still, we take the first step out of the boat, albeit with more fear and trembling than we did when we were children. What's at stake now is not a sunny afternoon at a neighborhood pool, but an ocean that can sweep us away in one instant. We know, too, that the ocean is deep and full of mystery. Full of the unknown. We have so much to lose. Maybe that's partly why I've come to love Peter so much over the years. He is childlike and impulsive. He is the first to raise his hand in class, to swear fidelity, to jump out of the boat. I have enough faith. Pick me, pick me, pick me. I got this. And I relate to that a little bit. And I relate, as I'm sure you all can, to what is the absolute joy and ecstasy of doing something miraculous, as Peter did with those first few steps when the water turned solid under his feet. That feeling feels like you're on top of the world, and God is on your side, and you are full of power. But I also relate too well, as I'm sure you can too, to the moment when that miracle ends and the ground beneath you turns back into water, and first one foot and then the next slip, just like my microphone keeps doing. And then the water suddenly floods into your eyes, mouth, and nose, and you are blinded completely. The world begins to turn dark. You are drowning. With the last breath, you cry out, Save me. I have felt that way when my children are so sick, I realize they could die. Or when a relationship I felt was solid suddenly breaks. Or when I am reminded that I am fragile and mortal. I hate those times. I hate feeling like I'm drowning. It feels, as the Quakers say, that the way has closed. It can feel like the end of everything. The first time I knew this kind of sinking was in my early 30s, when a close friend trusted us with her depression and let us share her life so we could accompany her in her journey. In my confident, young, and ignorant way, I thought we could make her well. I thought we could turn the choppy water under her feet into solid ground. I even thought that I could be so strong and steady that I could help her out of the boat and across the water. As I look back on it, I have a lot of compassion for my younger self, but I also realize my incredible hubris, because of course I was wrong. I got tired, and she did not get better. She only got worse. I realized the truth much later, as I listened to voices wiser than my own, that she had been on her own journey, and we were called to walk only part of that journey with her. When she died, I felt like I had betrayed her. I felt betrayed myself. It was though the ground under my feet had dissolved. The world around me went dark. I knew the taste of bitter salt water as it closed over me. It felt as though the way before me and behind me were closing. This is kind of like Peter. The way closes before and behind him. He comes to the end of himself and his own capacities. And he gets to choose in that moment what he's going to say. Maybe he doesn't think about it. I don't think he does. Because when you're drowning, you just shout, "Save me." And he finds that God is right there, hand outstretched. God, Jesus, solid as a mountain, never altering in his love, waiting for him. It is in our very nature to lose our footing, and in God's very nature to catch us. "Why do you not have faith?" Jesus asks. I always thought this part of the story was kind of funny. I take umbrage, because if I put myself in Peter's shoes, I want to protest here. I was the one who jumped out of the boat. I had more faith than all those other people who are still floating in that boat behind me. Everyone else was too scared, but at least I tried. But when I think about Jesus's question and respond more authentically, I say back to God, "Because I'm human, that's it. I try and I fail. That's the story of me. That's the story of us. We get afraid really easily. That's why we need God. As much as we'd like to, we can't calm the waves or the storm or the wind. Having faith does not mean that the disciples are charged with bringing calm to chaos. Their hearts and minds are as stormy as the sea around them. Having faith means turning to a God who is not in a storm, not in the wind, not in an earthquake, but in the stillness. Peter is flailing, desperate, not even able to put out his hand, and still Jesus catches him. Jesus doesn't punish Peter for his fall. He doesn't let him drown just a little bit to teach him a lesson. He catches him. I've heard platitudes that try to solve this problem of pain. God lets us feel pain to teach us that we need God. God lets us fall so God can help us up again. God lets bad things happen so we can reach out in faith. I don't believe any of that. God does not desire our pain. God does not desire our destruction. God is not out to teach us a lesson. God does not even wait for us to reach out in faith. God simply catches us. God loves us completely, utterly, without condition. God is in the business of catching us because that is who God is. Even when we can't feel God's arms around us, they are. In her poem, Suspended, Denise Levertov puts that truth so beautifully. There's a copy in your bulletin if you'd like to take it home, but I'll read it to you now. Suspended. I had grasped God's garment in the void, but my hand slipped on the rich silk of it. The everlasting arms my sister loved to remember must have upheld my leaden weight from falling. Even so, for though I claw at empty air and feel nothing, no embrace, I have not plummeted. After my friend died and the darkness closed in, God found me. Tired, weary, and wounded, feeling as though I'd failed so miserably. For a while, I couldn't feel God's arms around me. I clawed at empty air. Then, in a moment of brokenness, a brave friend spoke the truth to me, and I heard her. She told me God's arms had been around me the whole time. And eventually, I realized too that in the mystery of God's far-reaching love, God's arms were around my friend, beyond my knowing, beyond my seeing. God had pulled her out of the sea and drawn her into an embrace that would not let her go. But that is her story, and this is mine. And I am still struggling all the time to summon the courage to step out of the boat, still trying to keep my eyes above the waves, to trust a God that is unfailingly merciful. And like Peter, I will certainly flounder. That's my story, and that's yours too. As a child taught to glean morals and little takeaways from the stories of Jesus, I thought that the lesson of this story was have more faith. I thought the most meaningful part of the story was when Peter stepped off the boat. And maybe at one time, for me, it was. As a child, I thought that God was telling me that if I could only conjure up enough trust, I might ultimately, someday, do better than Peter. Maybe make the whole walk unscathed, maybe not sink. Now, at almost 50 years old, I come to this story completely differently. Now, for me, the best part of this story is when Peter is sinking, when the waves are closing over his head, and he's about to get swept out to sea. And Jesus reaches out his arm and snatches him. And Jesus' fingers close around Peter's, and they slowly walk back to the boat together. To me, these days, that moment embodies what I think faith is. the moment when we recognize that we are human and that water is water and that we are helpless in the face of all of it. And when we realize God is God and God loves us and God is always reaching down. And in this moment of tender, intimate power, God pulls us up and doesn't let us go. Amen.